Welcome to A Year on Tour with Vittinghus. Here's your host, Hans Christian Vittinghus.
Hello, guys and girls, and welcome back to another episode of A Year on Tour with Vittinghus. Today's episode will be focused on the Thomas and Uber Cup finals, which are being played in Chengdu, China this week. And I know that there has already been played a couple of matches for the past 2 days, but for me, the group state matches are not very interesting. I think there's quite a few groups that are almost pre-decided before being played, so that's why I will do this preview looking more ahead to the quarterfinal stage, which starts on Wednesday this week. So I will try to go a bit more into depth with who I see as a favorite for the title and who can challenge for the goal in the end. I will also focus a bit on Kenta Momota, who recently told everyone that he will retire after this Thomas Cup final. So I will look a little bit at that announcement as well. So let's just get straight into it, everyone. So let's start with the Uber Cup, and at the time of this recording, there's still some matches here on Monday the 29th that are left to be played. But overall, it's pretty safe to say that the 8 teams that are going to qualify for the quarterfinals is China, India from Group A. From Group B, it will be Chinese Taipei and Thailand. Thailand still needs to play Malaysia, but it's very, very likely they're going to win that one. So it's going to be those 2 teams. From Group C, it will be Japan and Indonesia. Indonesia needs to beat Uganda today, which I'm pretty confident that they will do. And from Group D, it's Korea and Denmark. And those 2 teams have already qualified. They will play tomorrow, Tuesday, to decide who's going to win the group and who will finish second. And in my opinion, Uber Cup is not the most exciting of these 2 events, Thomas and Uber Cup, simply because the depth in the event is not really great. For me, there's honestly only 3 teams that I see has a realistic chance of winning gold. It's the main favorite and big favorite in my eyes, the home team China. I think they are very strong favorites for the gold. And I only see 2 teams that can really challenge them in general for the gold. It's Japan, who's going to win Group C, most likely. And then it's Korea, who's going to win Group D. The other teams that will finish second in the groups or even win Group B, so Chinese Taipei or Thailand, India or Denmark, I don't really see them having any realistic chance of troubling China or actually also troubling Japan and Korea. It will take some big surprises for that to happen. I will say though that a team like Thailand, they do have some depth, but I feel like they're not as strong as they were 2 years ago when Ratchanok was playing at a higher level, but they do have 3 pretty strong women's singles still, and they have also a couple of good women's doubles. But again, for them to be able to beat those 3 top teams, I think it's going to be quite difficult. But that would be my 4th pick if I had to pick a 4th team with a chance of at least medaling, because obviously there's going to be 4 teams medaling. They won't play for the bronze in the Thomas and Uber Cup, so most likely Thailand could be the 4th country that will win a medal. As I said, I see China as the big favorite. They have a very, very strong lineup. Their women's singles lineup is crazy, with Chen Yufei, Hibing Zhao, Han Yu, and Wang Xiyi, those 4 girls who I talked about in some of the previous podcasts, because they're all fighting for these 2 spots in the Olympics. All 4 of them are top 8 in the world, so that's amazing depth. And Chen Yufei, obviously, in the first singles, is capable also of beating An Siyong and Yamaguchi, who are the other 2 top players. The only thing that worried me a little bit on China's behalf is that we haven't seen Chen Yufei on the team for either the match against Singapore or the match against Canada. So tomorrow, so Tuesday, they will play the final group stage match against India. So hopefully we will see her there. If not, then obviously there's something wrong with her, and that will hamper China's chances quite significantly. Because even though Hibing Zhao, Wang Xiyi and Han Yu all, as I said, are top 8, I think it's going to weaken their chances quite a bit of sweeping the singles against the other two top nations. So we'll see tomorrow if Chen Yufei will play or not against India. But even without her, I still think China is actually the main favorite. They will still be favorite in the second and third women's singles, and they have two very strong women's doubles as well. They have the world number ones in first women's doubles, and they have two world-class top pairs to choose from in the second doubles as well. And if you then add to that they're also playing at home, I think they are, yeah, they're definitely the biggest favorite for the gold. I'm also sure that they will have a little bit of extra motivation after that tight final loss last time 2 years ago, where they lost 3-2 in the final against Korea. So I'm sure they are out to avenge that. And by the way, the semifinals 2 years ago were also China, Thailand, and Korea, Japan. So it kind of looks like it's going to be all the same teams, actually. Even in the quarterfinal, it's all the 8 teams that I mentioned. So Japan, Chinese Taipei, Korea, Denmark, India, Thailand, Indonesia, and China. So that again says a little bit about that the depth is not great at the moment, which is unfortunately why I don't find the Uber Cup to be the most interesting of the team competitions. One thing I do find quite interesting, actually, though, is to see the team that India has brought. So far, India has won the two matches 4-1 against Canada and Singapore, but they have done it without any of their top-ranked players. So no Sindhu, no Saina, obviously. Also, their best women's doubles is not playing. It's all very young players, and they have done exceptionally well so far with those two wins against Singapore and Canada, who are not bad teams. It's actually some of the better depth teams in the draw. So that's very impressive. We had this girl, Ashmita Chaliha, who beat Michelle Lee in the first women's singles against Canada. And they actually won the four of the matches. They won in that match without dropping any set. So it's going to be quite interesting to see them against China in the final group stage, and also see in the quarterfinal if they can trouble some of the more fancy teams. So yeah, that's one interesting aspect to keep your eye on for the next couple of days in the Uber Cup. And then, of course, if China can live up to the spot as the big favorite for the gold medal. There's no doubt that both Korea and Japan on the right day we'll have a chance to beat China, but it definitely won't be an easy task. Like they will have to have everything go their way, and there's no doubt that at least in my mind, that in both matches, so if China played Korea or Japan, Korea and Japan will have to win the first women's singles, because if they don't do that, there's a lot of pressure on the first women's doubles, where China will also be big favorites. And if they go into that match with the security of having already won a match, I think it's going to be almost mission impossible for anyone to beat them. So the first women's singles is going to be key in those matches to give Japan or Korea any chance of beating China. Let's move on to the Thomas Cup, where I think it's a bit more interesting as the depth is a little bit better. I still don't think the depth is great in terms of making the entire group stage an interesting event. I see it as there's probably something like 8 teams who can all trouble each other. I don't think there's 8 teams who can win the event, but there's 8 teams that can beat each other on the right day. That also means that the group stage has not been, as I said, the most interesting. We have Group A, where China and Korea are already through before the final match. We have Group B, where it's pretty clear that it's probably going to be Japan and Chinese Taipei, even though Germany has actually played really well, but they're always stepping up when it's team events. But for them to beat Japan today, it's a tall order. But they had a very good fight against Chinese Taipei yesterday, but still ended up losing 4-1. So it will be most likely Japan and Chinese Taipei who make it through, and Germany and Czech Republic having to go home after the group stage. In Group C, we have Indonesia and India making it through, and Thailand and England going home. And Thailand didn't feel their strongest team, but their first men's doubles actually played really well in this event. But still, Indonesia and India, as supposed, are going through, and they will have to play a group final tomorrow, Tuesday. In Group D, the final group, we have Denmark and Malaysia. They both already beat Hong Kong and Algeria 5-0. So there was a little bit of doubt before the match between Hong Kong and Malaysia, like who was gonna fight for, in my eyes, the second spot in the group. I see Denmark as pretty clear favorites in Group D. Not saying that they cannot lose to Malaysia, but I think Denmark, on paper at least, is quite clear favorite to win the group. Malaysia and Hong Kong, you would say that Malaysia was probably a favorite before the match, but they are also missing Ng Si Young in the second men's singles, and I also don't think the men's doubles department looks as strong as it has sometimes in the past, with the second doubles being Nur Isudin and Go Sefe. I know they've been playing well lately, but they are also quite inconsistent. But anyway, they actually beat Hong Kong 5-0 in that first match, so it's already clear that Denmark and Malaysia will play a group final on Tuesday as well. So again, that means we have Denmark, Malaysia, we have Indonesia, India, we have Japan, Chinese Taipei, and of course we have China and Korea in the quarterfinal. So I will say with those eight teams, there are no teams that are not on the right day capable of beating each other. But I will still say I have one team that in my eyes is a little bit bigger favorite than any of the others, and it's again the home nation China. I do think on paper they have the strongest team. I think they're also seeded one in the tournament because of their world ranking. So even though it's a team event, you will still be seeded according to how high your individual players are ranked in the world rankings. And China is the team with, on paper at least, the strongest lineup. So I have them as favorite number one. I have Indonesia and Denmark probably in like the second tier of favorites, so they can for sure both win. They are capable of that. They have strong lineups, both of them. Then I have India for sure right below that, almost the same level in my eyes as Denmark and Indonesia. I know India are the defending champions, and for sure it's possible for them to win again, but I still think on paper they are a little bit weaker than the other three teams I've mentioned. I also think Japan maybe belongs in that tier, and then we have the rest of the teams, Chinese Taipei, Korea, and Malaysia in the bottom tier of these eight teams. But again, I have to underline the fact that I believe all eight teams can beat each other on the day. So if Chinese Taipei plays China on the right day, it's possible to win. It's not very likely, but it could happen for sure. Same for Malaysia. I think it's not impossible for them to beat any of the seven other teams that are in the quarterfinal. So that's also why I find the Thomas Cup a little bit more interesting than the Uber Cup this time, because when we get to the quarterfinals, I think it's a quite open affair in all four quarterfinals, no matter how these eight teams are going to match up against each other. So why do I still have China as the biggest favorite? Well, I think the lineup is very solid. So they have Xu Yuqi, who's been perhaps the best player in the world in 2024. I know there's maybe not a clear number one, but he's been very consistent. He's been beating Victor a few times as well. So I think if you look at that matchup, Denmark against China, right now that first men singles is basically 50-50. I have China as favorite in the first men's doubles. I don't think Anders and Kim in the first men's doubles for Denmark has been looking as strong as they did in the last part of 2023. They can for sure win against China, but I will just have China as favorite in the first men's doubles. Then we have a second singles between Antonsen and Li Shifeng. Small favorite for Antonsen, but Li Shifeng is a guy that he's been having some trouble beating before, and this event is being played in China, and Li Shifeng is for me still a big game player, so I only see Antonsen as a very slight favorite in that one. Then we have a pretty clear favorite in the matchup in the second men's doubles with Liu and Oh from China against Søgaard and Kjær. And then a third men's singles that in my eyes is pretty much 50-50 with Wing Hung Yang most likely, or Lu Guangxu against Gemke. So that means on paper, China are for me to see clear favorites in the two men's doubles, and that adds a lot of pressure on the Danish men's singles, because again, they don't have one of them where you can say we're for sure gonna win this one. I know they have good chances with Victor and Anas, and of course also Gemke has a very high level, but again, They need to win all three of them, most likely against China, in my opinion. And that's a very tall ask, especially considering how Victor has played lately, also in the matches against Yuki. But it will be a very interesting matchup if it happens. And again, I have Denmark in the second tier as one of the biggest favorites to win. But I think right now, sorry, right now China has the advantage in a head-to-head matchup. And it's actually kind of the same against Indonesia. I think Indonesia is usually quite good at rising to the challenge, also when it's a team event. We've seen some amazing results from Jonathan Christie, who, by the way, only plays second singles in this event because of the ranking is made according to an old World Championship ranking. So even though right now he's ranked above Ginting, he is in this tournament only the second man singles for Indonesia, and we have Ginting in first. And you never really know with Ginting. Maybe he can beat Chiyuchi, maybe he can't. You never really know what to expect. And it's kind of the same with Alfian and Arianto in the first men's doubles. But I'm not ready to write off the chances Indonesia. They have strong players, and again, players that on their day can beat anyone. So anyone who plays Indonesia will know that all five matches, Indonesia will actually have a chance of winning the matches, which of course adds a little bit of pressure on the opposing team. And so, why don't I have the defending champions, India, as one of the top three favorites? Well, again, I have them as the fourth best team on paper, so it's not like they cannot win. For sure, they can win. I'm not underestimating them the same way as they probably were a little bit last time, where they went a little bit more under the radar. But I feel like neither their first men's doubles nor their three top singles has been in great form lately. And they really need those four to perform at their best, because the biggest weakness in India's team is that the second men's doubles with Arjun and Kapila, in my eyes at least, they are not world class compared to the other seven teams that I mentioned. So it will be quite difficult to win that second men's doubles, or at least they will be big underdogs in all the matches. So on paper, they only have four matches in all the team matches where they have good chances of winning. And HS Pranoy, Srikant, I feel like it's been a while since we've seen them at their highest level, but we know they are both capable. So that's why I'm not going to write them off. But right now, they won't be favored in any of their matches. Lakshya Sen, he's been playing well lately, so it's a little bit different story with him, but it's still going to be difficult for those three men singles. They're all world class, or can be, but it's quite hard to see them as favorites against the Danish men singles or the Chinese men singles or even the Indonesian men singles, at least in my eyes. And then we have Ranki Reddy and Shetty in the men's doubles. For sure, they can win the first men's doubles, but it's not like I will say it's a safe or certain point for India. So that's why I have them a little bit below the other three teams that I mentioned. Then let me just talk a bit about the two more teams. So let's start off with Malaysia. So Malaysia, they will play Denmark for the group final in Group D to determine who's gonna be the group winner or second in the group. It's quite an important match, because if they beat Denmark in that one, they will be most likely able to avoid Indonesia and China in that quarterfinal. But I think Malaysia's team is, even though they have a good mix of experience and youth, I'm a little bit concerned for the second and third men singles if they have the level to really compete with the big teams. So because Nsiang is still injured, they have Li Xijia in the first singles, which of course you can never count him out. He can beat the top guys. He also had a good win on the first day against Li Chuqiu from Hong Kong. Then they have Junhao Liang in the second men singles, most likely, or Jun Wei Qiang, but I'm pretty sure that it will be Junhao Liang, as he beat Nkalang from Hong Kong on day one. Third singles will be Justin Ho or June, as I mentioned before, and those two guys will be big underdogs against any of the top teams, also Japan, which I haven't been talking about yet. So that puts a lot of pressure on Li Xijia in first singles, and he's for sure not a safe pick to win any first singles against the top teams. He's able to do it, but he will also be the underdog. So that means they're underdogs in the three singles. Then they have Aaron Shear and So in the first doubles, which against the top teams is a 50-50 match. And they have Go and Isurin in the second doubles, and they are also capable of beating some top pairs, but they will also not be favorite. So Malaysia, I see them as a team that they have five matches where they will be underdogs against the top teams. It's not impossible to win three of them, but it will be very surprising if they can do that 3 days in a row, so both in the quarterfinal, semifinal, and final. So that's again why it's very important for them to do it already against Denmark in the group, so maybe they can get a little bit easier draw in the quarterfinal where they don't have to win with with only the top players in the team. So we'll see about that. It's really for me a key match for Malaysia, that group final against Denmark. And it's not as important for Denmark because I see Denmark with a little bit more potential to beat some of the top teams if they have to face them already in the quarterfinal. Final team that I will talk about is also because it has Kento Momota on the team, and as I said in the intro, I want to talk a little bit about Kento Momota because he recently said that Thomas Cup is going to be his final international outing in his career. Obviously, he was dominating international badminton in 2018, 2019. I think in 2019 he won 11 international tournaments at the highest level, which is still a record in men's singles. He then got into a very tragic car accident after the winning the Malaysia Masters in 2020, where the driver actually got killed, and yeah, he got some injuries on his eye and some stuff, and it took him quite a while to even just get back on court. Unfortunately, he has never really been able to find back to his old level in any way. There's been a few glimpses of it, but it's never really been close to seeing him back at the same kind of level as before. And at his press conference, he also said that like he was just empty now, no more energy, mental, physical energy, and he had realized that he was never going to be world number one again, and that's so there was no point for him in pushing anymore. And I guess when you reach his level, you've been world champion twice, you don't want to play to be number 30 or 20 or even 15 in the world. What's really interesting for you is to win the big titles, and he was not anywhere near that, unfortunately. So I think it's a little bit sad for his career to end this way on a low, but yeah, it's because of things out of his control, unfortunately. Now I just hope that he will get a very nice send off here at the Thomas Cup, where he's in the third men's singles for Japan, because his ranking is the lowest of the four men's singles that are selected for the team for Japan. So he will only be able to play third men's singles. But that also means that we can see him in some very interesting situations, as if the team matches in the quarterfinals and onwards. If they make it all the way to 2-0, it will be third man singles that decides the tie, and that's for me is the most fun part about Thomas Huber and Sudirman Cup. That's the fifth match. It's so much suspense, and it's always like with the big teams, it's always the third singles in Huber and Thomas Cup that decides it, and it's just fun to see who handles the pressure best. Obviously, Kento Momota, he has a lot of experience handling big pressure situations. He's won the world championships twice, so to have him in the third men's singles is it's pretty strong. So the team in general of Japan is of course strong. So they have Kenta Nishimoto, they have Koki Watanabe, they have Naraoka of course in first men's singles, and they have Momota for the singles, and then they have Hoki Kobayashi in doubles. They have Koga and Saito, and they have Mitsuhashi and Okamura in the doubles as reserves. So I think it will be Hoki Kobayashi and Koga Saito in the first and second men's doubles. It's a team that has the potential to beat all the other top teams, but I still don't have them as one of the big favorites. I don't feel like the two men's doubles has been in the shape of their lives. So it will be a little bit surprising if Hoki Kobayashi beats the other top teams. Koga Saito is a strong second doubles for sure, but also not safe wins. Then we have Naraoka in first singles. Him against Victor, still a tough matchup. Him against Shiuchi, I will also say, is a tough matchup. And also against Ginting. So again, not a safe win. But if they can get into that fifth match with Momota, even though he's not been in the shape of his life for sure, I'm not going to bet against him in a pressure situation like that. So if they can get it out to that fifth match, I see them as a very, very dangerous team. But again, to be able to win 3 days in a row against top teams is going to be quite a tall task. And they have a very difficult group final. Most likely, if they beat Germany today, they will have a group final on Wednesday against Chinese Taipei. And that's a match where they are for in no way certain of winning. It's a very, very open match in all five matches in the actual team match. It can go either way. So that will be very interesting to follow that match as well. But I'll actually have to say that, of course, I hope Denmark wins the Thomas Cup. We've only won it once before, back in 2016. It will be amazing to experience that once again, even though I will only watch it on TV. But no doubt, I will go to the airport and welcome the guys back if they create history once again. But I'm almost willing to say that I actually support Japan maybe a little bit more this time, just because I feel like it would be very fitting for Kento Momota to be the hero one final time and lead his country to also a second Thomas Cup gold. So he was part of the team that won in 2014, which was the first time for Japan, and it would be amazing and I think well deserved for his career as well if he could kind of finish it in on a high note by being the deciding factor in a Thomas Cup. So that's actually going to be my hope for this edition, that Japan wins it 3-2 in the final with the final win by Kento Momota. So I'm crossing my fingers for that, and if that can happen, then of course I will be supporting Denmark, but I do have China as the main gold medal contender. All right, guys and girls, that was a lot about the Thomas and Yuba Cup. I hope you will enjoy the final stages of the event. I hope you found this episode interesting. And then I will be back soon with another episode. Thanks so much for listening. And thank you so much to all of my patrons for still supporting the work I do with this podcast. It means so much to me. Thanks, guys. I'll be back. Bye.
Thank you for listening to A Year on Tour with Vittinghus. If you enjoyed the show, please rate, share, and leave a comment in iTunes or your preferred podcast app.